May be seated. Have your Bibles, if you would open them, please, to Luke chapter 11. Our text today, Luke 11, verses 33 through 36. Hear now the word of the Lord. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. What a treasure it is to us. It is a light indeed to our path, to guide us, to show us the way we should go. And Lord, we pray now that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, take this word and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, by your Spirit, by his great power, may we hear your voice this day and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. What's the darkest place you've ever been in? Perhaps you've been on one of these cave tours, or perhaps, like myself when I was younger, you went crawling around in caves. On these tours, they love to get you down in the darkest, deepest part of the cave and turn the lights off just to show you how dark it really is. And it's dark. It's so dark you can hold your hand up in front of your face, so close you can feel the heat from your hand, but you can't see it. That's dark. I would suggest to you this morning, however, there's a place even darker than that. We'll come back to that presently. But last week we looked at these people, this wicked generation, who came to Jesus and wanted a miraculous sign. They came to the one who taught as no one else had ever taught. They came to the one, by their own admission, that they were amazed at his teaching. And that teaching was punctuated by miracle after miracle. And we said last week they made a pretense of needing more information. They needed a little bit more light shed on the subject. They needed Jesus to shed a little bit more light on his claims that he was Messiah, that he was Son of God. But these people didn't need more light. What they needed was to open their eyes to the light that was blazing there brilliantly in front of them. This is man's problem. Jesus outlines it for us here today in this text. The problem is with the eye. Many people believe that this text today has to do with witnessing. I've heard preachers preach on this text, and that was the gist of what they said. But it's not. Unfortunately, too many times we get our theology from songs like "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Jesus uses this same introduction, this same example, several times in the scripture, like Matthew chapter 5, like Luke chapter 8 and verse 16 we looked at some months ago, when I did use as the title of the sermon, "This Little Light of Mine." But the text today is something entirely different. This text today doesn't have to do with shining our light, our witness upon folks. This text has to do with the receiving of light. What we see here today is the idea that the light that comes to you has to come through your eye, that is through your mind, through your understanding, to illumine your soul, to illuminate your mind and your will and your emotions and your understanding. And this is what we look at in this text today. This needs to be understood in the context of verses 29 to 33. Those people who were wanting more light, wanting more information, they didn't need more light. God had placed Jesus Christ in this world. He sent his Son into the world and placed him on a candlestick, on a lampstand for all to see. His glory shone through his words, his teaching, his miracles. And as Paul told King Agrippa in Acts 26, King, you yourself are familiar with these things because these things weren't done in a corner. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world and cover him with a bowl. He didn't put him in some secret place. He came publicly announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. He came demonstrating over and over the truth of what he said. And these people could not see. They could not understand because they couldn't see the light that was right there before them. Now, Jesus begins his application with a universal negative. No one, nobody at any time, no one lights a candle because the place where they are is dark. No one lights a candle and immediately covers it up with a bowl. That would be foolishness. If you've lived in Alabama any length of time, you've experienced a ice storm or tornado when there's no power for several days, sometimes weeks. It's amazing how dark it gets in your house at night without electricity. It's also amazing what one little candle can do in a dark room. But which of you, when that happens, power goes out, batteries in the flashlight are dead because you hadn't really planned for this, and you fumble around in the drawer in the dark and finally find a candle, and then you fumble around in another drawer and finally find the matches, and you light the candle, and you immediately cover it up with a bowl? Which of you would do that? No one. That's the point of what Jesus is saying. No one. The people Jesus was speaking to knew about this. They did not have electricity. They basically lived in one-room homes and very small windows. And when they closed the door at night, it got pretty dark in there. They had their little oil lamps to light the room. But they didn't light that lamp and then cover it up with something. So Jesus says, in the same way, your eye is the light of your body. It's the lamp of your body. And he's talking about not just your eye, but your mind and your heart. These things through which light comes into your body, into your soul, these things which serve as enlightenment to you, to guide you, to lead you so you can see, so you don't trip over the coffee table and bust your shin when the lights are off. God sends his light into the world that we might see. Now, Jesus warns that your eye has to be good, has to be clear, some of your translations might say. It has to be good to receive the light. Your eye has to be clear so that the light shines within you. If your eye is good, you will be able to discern properly. You'll be able to see clearly. You'll be able to judge things properly. You'll be able to look intently into God's law, into his perfect word, and be guided by that. It'll also do one other thing for you. if that light shines brightly in your heart, you'll be able to look into the recesses of your heart. You'll be able to see that hidden sin that's in there. You'll be able to see your need for repentance. You'll be able to see the things that are there lurking in the shadows that really don't need to be there. That brilliant light that God sends will help you see those things and will help you grow in holiness and help you have peace with God as you address those things one by one as they come out of the shadows as the light of God shines in your heart. But if your eye is bad, if your eye is evil, your body won't be flooded with light. It'll be flooded with darkness. If your eye is bad, you won't be able to see. If your mind and your heart is diseased, if it is corrupted by the love of the world, by the pride of life, by the lust of the eye, by desiring all these things of the world, all these things that the world presents before us. If your eye is damaged by those things, you won't be able to see clearly. You won't be flooded with light. The light that is in you will be darkness. And there's a great contrast here. There's a great contrast between that that's flooded with light and that's flooded with darkness. You know yourself, in a totally dark room, it's hard to maneuver and figure out where things are, even in your own home. When you put a little light in there, it's easy. It's easy to make your way. But those who are full of darkness can't judge properly. They can't see clearly. They can't make wise decisions. They don't have good discernment. And they do not desire to look into God's law, into His perfect word, to find guidance. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. It's darkness to his heart and his mind and his understanding. So those things are no value to him. In fact, he shows his lack of understanding. He shows his lack of wisdom in the things that he does, the choices that he makes, because there's no light in him. It is darkness. And this is the darkness of unbelief. This is the problem the people had in our text last week. It was that unbelief that blinded them to the truth. How can you look at Jesus Christ? How can you listen to him preach? How can you see him do miracle after miracle? How can you see him raise people from the dead and make blind people see and not believe? Some of you ask me that question sometimes in Bible studies. We're discussing things. How can people believe such when they read the Bible? It's easy. They're blind. They can't see the truth. It's the blindness of darkness. Those people were blinded by unbelief. Those people in the first century that hated Jesus, and the people today who reject Christ suffer from the same disease. It's darkness. They can't see the light right there in front of them because the eye is bad. They can't perceive the light. See to it then, Jesus says. That's a strong command. See to it then that your eye is clear. See to it. Look there in verse 36. See to it that the light within you is not darkness. What a strange combination of words. You have light in you, but it's darkness. How can that be? Some people think they have the truth. Some people think they have the light. Some people think they understand. We're surrounded by people in this world who are enthralled with their wisdom and their understanding. And they say the most foolish things. If you listen to an unbeliever talk long enough, they eventually devolve into irrationality. They're against the death penalty, even when there's eyewitness proof, undisputable testimony. They're against it, even though it's what God's word prescribes. And by and large, those people are in favor of abortion and murdering little babies. How can that be? How can you value life and then not value life? That's darkness. That's not wisdom. That is light that is not light. It's darkness masquerading as light. These people that Jesus spoke to could not see the light of the glory of the gospel. They were looking for relief from the Romans. They weren't looking for relief from sin and Satan and death and hell. They just wanted the Romans run out of town. They couldn't see what was better there right before them. And this is a common problem with people. They focus on the now. They focus on what's right here in front of me. I got to have this. I need that. That can wait. That being what's most important. That can wait. And there's a reason for that. There's a very simple reason for that. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your biggest adversary, your biggest hindrance lives right in here. Oh yeah, if you're a Christian, you've been born again, you have a new heart. But Paul says the flesh wars with the spirit. There's this struggle going on within you. And your biggest enemy is right within you. Because the heart, the natural part of you, the fleshly part of you, really doesn't want any light shining in there. It doesn't want the light of the gospel. It doesn't want the light of God's word. It doesn't want the light of the preaching of God's word. It doesn't want the light of Bible study and your personal private time of studying the Bible and praying. It doesn't want that light shining in your heart because it knows there's things in there that it's desperately clinging, holding on to, cherishing, that don't need to be there. And so it wars against you and tries to dissuade you from lighting that candle or shining that light or setting that light on a stand within your own heart. Jesus knew this. In John 3, Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. That's true. The unregenerate person can't stand to hear about Jesus, hear about the gospel. Oh, they'll talk to you about God. They'll talk to you about a higher power. And you throw Jesus into the mix, it gets ugly. They don't want to hear the truth. Everyone who does evil hates the light. These people hated Jesus, the people we looked at last week. Show us one more sign. Show us one more miraculous thing. We'll believe. No, they wouldn't. We said that last week. They wouldn't believe. Jesus said, even if someone rises from the dead, he said, you'll get one more sign of Jonah. Last week, I think I called it the sign of Jesus. His resurrection from the dead was the last and final sign they would receive. And they still ignored it. They still turned away. This is the problem. And the problem is in here. And that's where the light needs to come. And the light only comes if you have good eyes. Good heart, good understanding. It still doesn't make it desirable all the time because, as I said, your heart is in there the fleshly, the old part of you is warring against the new man, the new woman that is there, that God created there. There's another dimension to this also. When he says, see that the light that is within you is not darkness. Jesus' greatest opponents were the religious ruling class of the day. They were the doctors of the church. They were the elite religiously. And they were opposed to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. They held sway over the people because they were the experts in the law. They gave instruction. It was very, very, very rare for anyone to have any scripture of their own. Scrolls were expensive and big and bulky. And these self-appointed Pharisees and Sadducees lorded it over the people. They were the experts in the law and the prophets. And they could not see the one standing before them to whom all the law and the prophets pointed. Because it was not light that was in them. It was darkness. There's a lot of religiosity today. There's a lot of spirituality today. There's a lot of churchianity today. But in many of those cases, their own pronouncements, their own rejection of Jesus Christ, their own denial, their own rebellion against God's moral law is stark testimony that what is in them is darkness and not light. I asked you before, what was the darkest place you've ever been? I can tell you, for me, it was not a cave. It was the recesses of my own unregenerate heart. I got a glimpse in there a few times in my life, and it was utter blackness. I've told you before from this pulpit that if you understood how dark my heart was, you never would have called me to be your preacher. But, David said that the Lord reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. My God turned my darkness into light. Praise be to God. I can tell you, I looked in there, I mean really, really looked in there deep a few times. It was frightening. Dark and wicked. But God comes into that and does a creative work. He brings something new that doesn't exist. He brings light out of darkness. Like Paul said, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's what happens when your eyes clear, when God shines his light into your heart. That's what happens. It doesn't matter how dark it is. He drives out darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Can you say this morning that that light has shined in your heart? That light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has shone in your heart and brought you out of the darkness? If you can't, you're stumbling along in the darkness. This doesn't come by knowledge. It doesn't come by philosophy. It doesn't come by science. doesn't come by worldliness. It doesn't come by having the things of the world. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, you might as well be blind. You are blind. You're groping along, stumbling along in the darkness, and you're headed for eternal darkness. Now, for those of you who, like me, have been graced by God to have His light shine in your hearts, that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility. When they turned the lights back on in the cave, you still have to stay on the path. You still have to watch out for the stalactites, lest you bust your head open. You have to watch out for the pitfalls. But the light that shines enables you to do that which you could never do in the darkness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the light of life. Lord, we thank You. You've shown that light into our hearts. Lord, help us to see clearly that which does not belong there and to root out that which is contrary to Your word, which is offensive to You, and which drags us down. Lord, help us to see clearly that which needs to be remedied, that which needs to be addressed. And Lord, if there are any who walk in darkness, Lord, we would pray that You would give them a new heart, give them clear eyes, good eyes that can see the truth of the gospel, can see Jesus Christ as the only hope of sinful man. Lord, indeed, open our eyes. Lord, illumine us to Your truth, to Your glory, to Your wonder and Your majesty, to Your great grace, and to Your love for sinners. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.